The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com. To the Wicked Anime Podcast. I am Hard Man with Harder Opinions, Andrew, and with me is Jonathan, the Stupid Awesome Analyst.
What's up, guys?
And today we have two very special guests with us today. As you can tell, it's not Dylan, because I am doing the introduction. With us we have, from the Boston Master Brigade once again, King Baby Duck Evan.
Hey guys, how's it going?
And from YouTube's 42 Anime Reviews, 42 Believer, Sarah.
Hello, nice to meet you all for the first time.
Okay, so that's Dylan's job. So now I'm done, I guess.
So it's my turn. Well, no, I tell you to ring the news bell, and then you ring the news bell, and then it's my turn again.
Well, how do you ring the news bell?
Hey, Andrew, ring the news bell. News, just like that. That's what a bell sounds like.
Oh, okay.
So let me grab my news here, because I just wrote it down 5 seconds ago, before we started recording.
Don't let them in on the secret.
Our fans already don't expect that much from us. Okay, so first up in media news, there was just a recent announcement that Blue Exorcist is going to be airing on Toonami. I actually haven't heard too much about this. Sarah, you've seen a couple episodes, right?
Yeah, I've seen a couple episodes, so...
And what's your opinions on it?
As I have stated earlier, it is slightly better than Sword Art Online, and I have a very low opinion of Sword Art Online, so it is like mediocre, but a little bit better than mediocre.
Ouch.
Yeah. But I mean, I think
it's mediocre, but not, it's better than mediocre. I guess it's like if mediocre had like mediocre, it was like mediocre.
I think it's a good choice for Toonami simply because it's kind of average, but it's not too out there that prospective anime fans would get, you know, like, scared off by
hear
it.
Hear that? Toonami, stop playing the mediocre. I do not endorse that. That Sarah's endorsing that.
Let me guess, it's going to be on at 2:30 in the morning, so why even bother?
Probably.
Oh.
Well, in related news to that, to begin with, we do have the announcement, that which was a couple weeks ago, that they were going to be playing other movies too. Like, they're going to be playing Akira, Summer Wars, the first Full Metal Alchemist movie, Sorry Victoria, and Trigon Badland Rumble.
Which, those are all awesome.
Except for the Full Metal Alchemist.
Well, Full Metal Alchemist. But I am really curious as to how they're even going to play Akira on TV. Because it's very not made for TV.
Well, maybe that's why they're putting it on so late at night. So maybe they're able to get away with it. You know how, like, Comedy Central, like, after midnight, they can actually air uncensored, like, stand-up? Maybe this is going to be the case with Adult Swim.
It's also not mediocre.
But here's what I'm wondering is, why are they putting Summer Wars on so late when it's really a good family picture that should probably be on like more at like 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening?
But let's be honest, like, they're never going to do that.
That's because they don't play anime on Cartoon Network anymore. It's strictly Toonami's job to do that. And because Toonami is on Adult Swim now, they have to play it during the Adult Swim hours. Just how it is.
Look, I'm perfectly happy having Mamoru Hosoda all to myself, okay?
No, the world must know about Mamoru Hosoda.
Yeah, but like, it'll happen someday, hopefully, maybe.
Maybe.
Still hasn't won an Oscar.
Even though he soon totally deserved it.
He'll get an Oscar.
But anyways, the rest of these movies are pretty awesome. Did they play Trigun on Adult Swim back in the day?
Yes, they played the original Trigun.
Yeah, okay, so it has had a history on there then.
Because Badland Rumbles is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very impressive.
I loved it.
And I liked how they had set it up so it happens in between, like, the first half of the series.
Yeah, well, it's like the Cowboy Bebop movie. Like, it's just another adventure they had, you know? Mm-hmm. And generally with anime movies, we had a discussion about this on the podcast already, but, you know,
doesn't hurt to bring it up again. Like, when you make anime movies, you can't make it canon because not everybody can go see the movie. So, like, if it's going to be a part of the TV show, it has to be its own entity so that not too many important things happen. The only one that I know that important things have happened is when Luffy got his second gear in one of the movies. Like, so all of a sudden the next season showed up and he was in second gear. And you're like, what the heck is this?
See, that's the thing about Fullmetal Alchemist. This movie, it's the... It's the
ending to the original series. So you had to have watched the full series before watching this one.
Uh-huh. And that's why the other Fullmetal Alchemist movie, Secret Star of Milos, is a lot better, because it's one of those, it was another adventure kind of things. And I mean, it wasn't that
It was a standalone
good,
movie.
It was a standalone movie.
Kind of like with this one the... isn't. Kind of like with when they did the standalone Complex movie.
Yeah, Solid State Society.
Yes, which is, I think, in all honesty, my favorite of the Ghost in the Shell movies.
I actually still haven't seen Solid State Society.
It plays more akin to standalone Complex. You know, it's not as philosophical as the Ghost in the Shell and Ghost in the Shell 2 Innocence. But by taking out the philosophical parts and keeping, and then, you know, adding more of the standalone Complex stuff, it actually made the story more coherent. And actually a little bit more fun than all of the other past films.
You were being talked at. So next up in media news, there's been an announcement that Guillermo del Toro is to hold a Miyazaki masterclass. I forgot
Toronto.
Where. Yes, Toronto. There we go. That was it. Toronto International Film Festival.
Freaking Canada.
Yeah.
Welcome to Toronto. Our mayor likes crack.
Oh, God.
So Guillermo del Toro is going to be holding a masterclass where they're also going to view Castle in the Sky after his discussion of art style and all that good stuff. I mean, I would love to hear what he has to say about Miyazaki. You know, he's such a highly held...
visionary.
Visionary
and as we
director.
All know now, he's just in love with anime.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
Specific Rim. What?
What? What? What? Did I say that out loud? I didn't mean to say that. That just...
Pacific Rim is awesome.
Pacific Rim.
Yes.
Have you guys seen the video of Guillermo del Toro going to the Gundam Museum?
Oh my gosh.
It's so adorable. It's like a kid in a candy shop. Like, he sees the big Gundam statue and he's like, oh.
Yeah, like, no, like, like it's actually pretty... You guys need to check it out. He's like in. He sees the giant Gundam, and he like walks away from the crowd. They're staring up at it, and like you see his like face, and he's just like, "Wow!" Like looking at "Wow!" like in his face, and then it like makes the Gundam noise, like in the sound, and he goes, "Oh!" Like it's so cool.
It's like, you know, when you see like a 4-year-old kid meet a cop for the first time, you know, or like a fireman, you know, and he's like, I want to be that when I grow up. It, that's exactly what you get from
Guillermo. Or kind of like today when I saw the TARDIS and I was like, oh my God.
I want to be the doctor.
Speaking of which, on this recording, the four of us are together because we went to a convention, Super Mega Fest in Framingham, Massachusetts.
Yeah, we were media.
Yeah,
I guess.
It was...
in a way.
It was pretty fun. It was small. It was more of a Comic-Con, so there wasn't too much anime stuff there.
Again.
Yeah. It was certainly tiny, but they had a lot of really big guests.
Yeah, they had Christopher Lloyd and Tom Felton in the basement. no, seriously, guys. They had their biggest guest to a room all by themselves on a bottom floor, and there was nobody down there.
Yeah, Billy West was down there,
nobody
too.
Nobody down there.
I was shocked.
Yeah,
you could literally just walk into the room right up to the guests, you know, but you had to pay $65.
Okay. Like, no.
May I please like address the people of your crowd of sorts about this? You see, like, I totally understand if it's like a whole like Comic-Con policy that they have to charge people to meet these celebrities and such. Like, but for me, like. If I was to become famous, I would never want to charge my fans to come and meet me.
Yeah.
I would say I'd be glad to take a picture with you, autograph and everything. That's why I love when I go to these anime conventions. It doesn't cost a penny to sit down and chat with Kari Wahlgren and J. Michael Tatum and Brina Palencia.
Well, that's why I always thought the anime crowd is more fun, too, when it comes to press and media and stuff like that. Because we get to do it all for free and they love it.
And speaking of the anime crowd... Who we gotta meet?
Vic Mignogna.
What? No. What? We got to meet Vic? What? That's amazing.
But yeah. Let me just say before we get into that, I'm not, like, dissing any of the celebrities that were at this convention. I love them all to death. I understand that this is, like, Comic-Con
policy. Well, it's like the famous Lou Ferrigno story that I heard where, you know, where he chased down that person who took a picture of him. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, they took a picture of him, like, from far away and he saw. And he, like, chased them down until they paid him.
That's like one of the rare.
It was a rumored story.
Yeah. Lou Ferrigno, if you listen to the Wicked Anime podcast, we don't know if that's true.
Is it true, Lou Ferrigno?
Well, he's actually deaf. So,
he may not be listening. Just saying. Wow. High five, Andrew.
So Vic Mignogna. Yeah.
He was the anime guest at Super Mega Fest, and man, he was such a bubbly guy.
Oh, dude, he was
so chill.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was cool.
He was nice.
Yeah,
he's just a lot nicer than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah,
because we had heard about stories back and forth, but these are just like rumors.
Yeah,
and odds are most of these rumors aren't true,
mm-hmm. which they're not. Yeah. It was like
cause obviously, if they were true, then he wouldn't have been so just chill about the entire thing and like, yeah, totally interview,
yeah.
Like, you guys will be able to see our interview with Vic eventually when we decide to do it. Never.
You'll see my three character island with him though.
Yeah, that's true.
And it was really fun to meet him. Check that off of the bucket list. Steve Bloom's still on there.
Yeah,
Oh my god, Steve Bloom would be amazing.
But yeah,
but there was just no one at that table.
No, there wasn't. You could walk up to a lot of people there. Actually, I mean, mm-hmm. like the only person who we really saw a huge line for was Elvira.
Yeah, Elvira had the longest line.
Like, yeah, she wasn't even dressed in character. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have her dressed in character, though, because like, it probably takes a really long time for her to do that, to get dolled up like that. So,
plus, I'm not really sure how the push-up works for her anymore.
I think it still works.
I think it's still
It might still work. Does.
Is that right? But it seemed like all of the guests that were there were kind of like just super approachable. I mean,
oh, we missed out on John Heater.
We did. We missed out on John Heater.
His I want to ask him about Armagrog.
Yeah, so bad. And then Sergeant Slaughter was there too. That man has a mighty chin.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
He was dressed as Sergeant Slaughter. Like, it was not like him, like, oh, Sergeant Slaughter's there in casual clothes. It was Sergeant Slaughter.
It was freaking manly. Oh my gosh. Yeah, and then they had quite a few other people. Ron Jeremy.
Porn stars.
Yeah, they did. They had a lot of porn stars, Playboy Playmates. For whatever reason, they were probably the loneliest people at the con. Nobody would go up to their booths.
It's just like, no one wants to talk to you. We're here for a Comic-Con. Like, no, that's not a...
Well, if we want the porn stuff, we go to AVN in Las Vegas.
Pretty much.
Or the internet.
But overall, it was fun. It was good for a couple of hours. We got in. We were there for 4 hours, and that's all we really needed. We conquered it in like two.
Oh minutes. Man, I was fighting with myself on the inside though of what if I should buy anything. But it just means I have more money for Anime Boston.
Yeah,
I finally found something to buy. Sadly, it's nothing anime related. Once again, I'm still looking for a Cubey. I'm still looking for Plue from Fairy Tale.
There you go. Fairy Tale.
And Rave Master. I'm still looking for like a Chopper. I'm never able to find any of these characters.
Chuck.
And Chuck from
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Chuck.
But I did find plushies of Rocky, Bullwinkle, and Boris and Natasha.
Yeah, which is freaking awesome.
And see, how could you pass up the Boris and Natasha ones? I mean, it's like you have to get Boris and Natasha if it's available to you.
Yeah. And then, I mean, they also had Fearless Leader, but I was like, you know what? It's all about Boris and Natasha. No, not really.
Yeah, they're like Jesse and James.
Yeah. It's like you're buying Ash, Misty, Brock, and Pikachu, and there's Jesse and James. You have to get the whole thing.
But who cares about Boss Man? Like, nobody
cares about Giovanni.
Yeah. And they had one of those cat creatures, the Necomuzz or something, whatever they're called.
From
Monster Hunter. Like, they had a $35 huge one, and then they had a smaller one. I didn't end up buying it, but I almost did. I was, like, right on the verge of buying it.
Yeah.
What did you buy? What was the thing that you did buy?
I bought a Devilman action figure from 1980. And he had three of them there, and they were all $10 each, which I was impressed. I could tell in his eyes, he was like, please buy all three of them, please. But I only bought one of them, and that's because that's all I was going to buy.
Her boobies have faces on them.
We played that clip at the first year of Hardcore Anime with that character. Like, it was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome. Like, that's when I saw it. I saw it and I was just like, I know what this character is. And I read Devil Manga. And I was like, oh, it's Devil Man.
Yeah. It was a fun con, but it was short-lived for sure.
Mm. Yeah, there was a lot of like really claustrophobic hallways and stuff.
Oh my god!
There were
no
panels, and there were no panels.
Yeah, all photo shoots.
No time to sit down or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. No place to sit down really, unless you want to sit in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, it was a lot of fun. I mean, yeah, I meet Vic Mignogna, which is awesome.
Oh no, yeah, that was we.
So like, and it's not
that's
like
how you know it's a victory.
And it's not like when you're at an
victory.
Anime con. Oh, I see what you did there.
I did not even attend that pun.
But it's not like when you're at an anime con and Vic Mignogna's there, because they say, oh, you have 1 hour for, you know, autograph signings, and he's like, no, you guys don't understand. The line is going to be so long, you need to give me more time.
Yeah.
It's true. It's very true. He's not saying it because...
Yeah. He's the most popular voice actor out there, let's be honest.
I will say this, the advantage, I would much, much prefer going to an anime con than a regular Comic Con, because the way that you meet guests are cooler, the events are cooler, everything's cooler at an anime con, because it's more than just a giant dealer's room. But one of the advantages of Comic Cons is you can walk right up to every single guest. Mm-hmm. And even if you just want to talk to them so that you don't have to pay for anything, you still get to meet them anytime you want. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the coolest things, especially with us, because we have a web show. As soon as we tell them we have a web show, they're like, they don't ask any questions when we ask, can we interview you? It's like, oh yeah, you have a web show. I guess I have to, you know? So.
And he was really chill about it. It's not like he made us pay to interview him or anything like that, because I'm sure that some of the other guests might have been like, no, you need to pay me.
Yeah. Please give me money.
Please give me money.
Okay, so next up in news, we're going to move on to some gaming news now. We only have one little short bit. We're going to talk about the new
PS3 release fighting game from Atlas.
Arc Systems.
Atlas.
Yes. No, it's Atlas.
Yeah, it's still Arc Systems 2.
Is it?
Yep.
Alright.
And it's called Aquapaza, or something like that.
Aquapaza. Yeah, Aquapaza.
Right.
And that's like the mysterious liquid that brings all these anime worlds together.
Yes. That is pretty much the reason why we are bringing it up, is because it is... We talked about this on a recent episode, where it's like, why don't we get any fighting games that have these awesome anime crossovers? Well, they finally brought one here.
To America.
Yeah. I mean, I wish it was Fighting Climax, just saying, but we got Aquapaza.
Well, Fighting Climax hasn't come out in Japan yet, so we have to wait for that to come out, and then we will probably hopefully get that. Or, if that doesn't happen, that's why PS3 games are region free.
Yeah,
that's right. But the characters in the game, they include the series Two Hearts 2, Tears of Tiara, Comic Party, and a whole bunch more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, Uto wa worry.
Uto wa
Walla Walla Bing Bang.
The one with the cat characters.
And like the main protagonist has like got the mask and the demon.
But yeah, that's another thing that we talked about recently too, was the whole, you know, crossover gaming thing is becoming way more popular. Like it started with
the Shonen Jump one.
Super Smash Brothers rather. And then like it kind of you know.
Yeah, because then they do have the Shonen Jump ones, which I wish we really got those. Because, I mean, you get to get a game where you get to play as Jotaro from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and Kenshiro? Are you trying to kill me? Like,
but, like, no, licensing would be a pain in the boom boom if we try to bring it over here in America.
And that's it for gaming news. So next up, we're going to talk about some strange news.
Yay, French fries.
that comes later. First, we'll just talk about how, I guess, Pornhub is trying to make a form an OS so that they can make an app for the PlayStation 4 and the Wii U.
Well, no. The way it's set up, from what I heard, is it's not an app per se. They're just going to create it so when you go onto the web browsers on Wii U and PS4, it's going to be like you know how there's the mobile versions
of like
the
sites? Yeah, like they make mobile versions of sites.
They'll be like the PS4 and Wii U versions of it.
Yeah.
They'll know that you're on the Wii U, so...
I got that. Yeah, I got that. But, I mean, like, it's going to turn into, like, you know... People are going to have, like, that app on there, or they're going to have that OS on their PlayStation 4s. I was like, hey, do you want to play some games? No. No, we're not going to turn it on.
They're like, oh, what is that? No, nothing.
I don't want to touch that controller.
You don't know what that... No, we're not going to touch it. Yeah.
It seems like a weird thing to do on your PlayStation anyway, surf the net. Like, I mean, not for porn, but, like, in general. Like, just, like, why... Yeah. Just use your computer. Like, I don't surf the net on my phone because, like, it's a pain in the butt. Because like,
it takes a long time to load.
Yeah.
And just use a computer. Play your PlayStation. The reason why you turned on your PlayStation was to play video games.
Yep.
Stop looking at all the porn all the time. Yeah. You don't need porn everywhere.
But in all seriousness, it's not the only site that does it.
Oh yeah, no.
Sugar DVD has done it. There's a few other.
I don't know what that one is.
They actually held like a PAX East party this past year. From what I heard from rumors, there was like topless wait staff and such.
I'm just impressed.
Oh, God.
Men? Just, like, walking around shirtless men everywhere?
So, next up in strange news. Have you guys heard about this thing that's been going on? It was at a Singapore convention where Kill la Kill cosplayers were arrested.
I think it was just one cosplayer.
No, she wasn't arrested. What it was this woman was complaining about her costume because it was too revealing. Cops just talked to the cosplayer, and then the cops just left.
Oh, really? I honestly thought it was worse than that. Like, from...
Well, the woman that was trying to actually attack the Kill la Kill cosplayer. Because she had just gotten out of a church.
Yeah, because it was, like, going on right there, and then they just walked out of church, and then there was the cosplayer, and you saw all the... everything, the boobs, and it was just like, I don't like that, because...
And then
I'm sensitive.
And then the churchgoer was trying to actually throw her down. Throw down the cosplayer down. I think the churchgoer was the one who got arrested, possibly.
Apparently no one was arrested. The cosplayer was reportedly shaken by the entire incident. Which I think I would be too. If just some random woman started like just coming up to you and you got the cops called on you simply because you're wearing cosplay. That would be unsettling.
I would probably be wearing a coat though, wherever I was going. In that, because regardless of where you're, if you're going somewhere or not, you probably shouldn't just be walking around dressed as, you know, Ryoko or whatever her name is.
But it was at an anime festival.
Oh, I see.
So I mean, and it was just they happened to be nearby.
She's brave for wearing that costume, regardless.
Yeah,
I certainly won't be complaining if I see cosplays of that.
Oh, there will be plenty.
Oh yes. Hopefully, specifically good cosplays of it.
Yes. Well, it's kind of like Yoko. Like you know, when you see Yoko cosplays walking around.
Oh, what I mean is, we don't want to see fat dude Misty Joe. Hey, I'll do the girl from Kill la Kill this year. Don't do it!
Don't do it!
Haven't you scarred the children enough?
That actually might be pretty funny. You can use the same suspenders from the Misty costume.
Which brings us to French fries. There's a story recently came out of China that China has made a French fry vending machine. They took the best snack in the world and they made a vending machine out of it so that you get a perfect French fry every time. And the thing that makes it so impressive is that one machine, maybe the first machine, it didn't really specify in the story, but one machine cost $1 million to make and 5 years to make it. I guess it goes a lot into the French fry making technology, but man, that is a long time to just make a vending machine that makes French fries.
I've been waiting 5 years, now I can finally have French fries.
What if they just gave up and they said, all right, we're just going to hire someone to just be inside the machine, chop the fries up, boom, there you go.
Magic of technology!
The future is here, guys. You can get vending machine French fries.
Now hiring the youth of China
to
create these French fries for you.
Oh, gosh. They're just inside the machines.
And like, that's as strange as it gets. So now it's time to move on to what we're watching. I'm watching a couple things. Any of you guys want to start?
I'll go. I've been watching Kyokai no Kanata, Samurai Flamenco, Kill la Kill, Golden Time. I know there's another one, but I'm forgetting its name right now, and I don't know why. But yeah, those are the ones that I've been watching recently.
Okay. Hopefully those don't need any explanation for you guys, because we've already talked about most of those shows. So mm-hmm.
We haven't talked about Samurai Flamenco yet.
That's true.
Is that a good one?
It's a good one. I think it's good. I think it's entertaining. It's funny. It's got good jokes that hit on the spot for me, at least.
Is it similar to, like, Tiger and Bunny? That's what the kind of vibe I'm getting.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Just say yes and we'll move on.
Yes! It is very similar to Tiger and Bunny. Don't quote me on that. Actually, quote me on that.
Nobody listens to us anyway, so
you've got to avoid that. Believer!
Yeah. No, it's funny. It's like an origin story for a superhero, so it's got a lot of, you know, stuff that hits close to home, like the spider.
Spider-Man!
It's got lots of, like, Power Rangers reference-y type things, and it's a lot of fun, so it's worth the watch, I think.
Cool. Evan?
Alright, so let's see. I've been watching Kill la Kill. I've watched the first two episodes of it. I've been really loving it, especially all like the hidden references and such in it. I finally finished watching The Black Lagoon OVA.
Okay, good. Yeah.
I still haven't started Bear's Blood Trail.
Really?
Yep. I mean, Andrew owns it, so I'll just borrow it from him eventually.
I wrecked through it. I already
watched all five episodes.
I already knew what was going to happen, though, because I've read all the manga.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, though. It's so good. I love Black Lagoon. It's one of my tops.
You know, I'm catching up on some Soul Eater. I'm catching up on some Kobato. And I'm just waiting for Wolf Children to come in the mail so I can watch that forever and ever and ever.
Same here.
Five times in one night.
If you didn't need any more reason to watch Wolf Children, we've all pre-ordered it, so you should pre-order it because it's a good idea.
Or just come over to our house and we'll watch it all together.
That's right, just knock on our doors and say, I'm here to watch Wolf Children.
And we'll say, who are you?
How do you know where I live?
We'll try to do a riff track, but unfortunately just be us crying throughout the whole...
No, except for the one scene, we'll be like, get a room. That one scene.
They did get a room.
Their
room. What are you talking about?
But we were watching them get a room.
It's a movie. I'm gonna move on. Andrew, have you been watching anything recently?
Still Outbreak Company. Have I watched talked about Outbreak Company?
I don't know if you have, maybe a while ago.
I like Outbreak Company.
Is it the monkey and Dustin Hoffman and Kevin Spacey?
That's just regular kind Outbreak. There is a cool thing, though, that Susanoo no Gargantia released their second OVA.
Yeah.
I watched, and it was cool, but it was about a character I never had any interest in. So, like, they were like, because, you know, the whole twist of the whole thing of the series is, you know, it's like, oh, this captain comes back, or spoilers. And everything. So the OVA was about him coming to Earth. Like, so, you know, the main character comes to Earth, and then it's the OVA, or you find out later in the series, oh, he's on planet Earth too. So the OVA was explaining how he got to Earth. But it was the whole time I was watching it, I was kind of like, I don't care, because the story was complete without knowing why he was there. Like, I mean, they told the whole story anyway, which I suppose that's why it was an OVA and not... But I would like more content from the main characters than an OVA, you know?
Yeah.
But it was still good. I like Gargantia. I can't wait for that to be licensed. Yeah. That needs to be licensed as Gargantia, because I'll buy that instantly.
Yeah. And I guess lastly, I actually went back in time, and I actually started watching Lucky Star. I've seen the first three episodes for the first time, or... I guess I saw the first episode like a long time ago, and then I just started watching it. You know, now
I've always thought of the first episode as a joke episode because it's just them about talking about food.
Yeah, talking about how to eat specific food.
It doesn't go anywhere.
It doesn't go anywhere, but it feels like, okay, we did the first episode. Here comes the real comedy of the show for everyone that stuck around. It's kind of like when it's kind of like when Andy Kaufman did that TV special, like. In fact, this is the end of the special. Go now. Go away. Bye-bye. And you just see him waiting around. Not that all of my friends are here.
Yeah.
Let's start the real show. That's what I felt Lucky Star did.
That reminds me of like when you go to see a Marvel movie and you see people leaving the theater once the credits roll. Yeah. Like you can tell who's a Marvel fan and who isn't.
Yeah.
But who actually sticks around.
But the show actually has a lot of merit that I didn't realize that I should be giving it credit for. Like the fact that the characters are singing karaoke at the end of every episode, so there's a different ending theme.
Lucky Channel.
Yeah. Lucky Channel's funny. The one thing that I have been doing while I've been watching it was I watch one episode on Crunchyroll in Japanese, and then they have the English version, the dubbed, on YouTube. And I watch the same exact episode twice in a row, because I want to hear how it translated, because there are so many great voice actresses on the English that I wanted to hear it. I wanted to hear it all right away. They had Kari Wahlgren, they had
Stephanie Shea,
Wendy Lee, Michelle Ruff.
Yeah, Michelle Ruff. That's the one I was trying to think of.
Not Stephanie Shea?
No, Michelle Ruff, but Stephanie Shea too.
Yeah. It's just like all of your favorites are there. You know, it's crazy.
Oh, that's true. I suppose I should mention that basically on Crunchyroll has all of Toradora, and last episode I explained that I was watching it, but I got a premium account, I started my trial version just so I could finish Toradora, and I did. I can't wait to get it on DVD, because I love that. I thought it was excellent. Toradora was freaking awesome.
And for you to believe it, I reviewed a couple weeks ago Golden Time, which is from the same creator of Toradora.
And you definitely get that feel. I really like Golden Time a lot.
Do you recommend it for people who like Toradora?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally.
Absolutely.
Then maybe I'll check it out then.
All right. Well, that actually was kind of a semi-good segue into our Tamagotchi for tonight, which we're talking about voice actors. At least I think it's one that we decided on, right? We're cool with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I have a feeling that we've talked about this before in like a really early episode, but that's okay.
I don't think so. We're going to do it anyways. Voice actors 2.0, maybe.
Perhaps. Or 1.5.
Or 1.5, maybe.
We don't know. Numbers.
So why don't we just do a round robin real quick, talk about who some of our favorites are. Or actually, maybe a short list would be our favorite. I'll start with mine. Speaking of which, one of the reasons why I watched Lucky Star in English was because of Kari Wahlgren. She's totally one of my favorites. I definitely think I have like a schoolboy crush on her, which was awesome when I met her at Anime Boston last year, because she was so excited about everything too. You know, I think Kari Wahlgren is probably my favorite, because she can be like that cute, you know, little girl, and then she could also be like that tough badass chick.
I suppose for me, it is pretty obvious, at least to these guys, that it's J. Michael Tatum.
To us, yes.
To you, because I've talked about him a lot. I'm a member of the Shadow Followers of J. Michael Tatum. Hi, if any of you are out there. I helped design the graphic for the new website. But no, I like him because I think he has a good range, and I just want them to use him more, because he just is a really chill guy, and he's the reason why I watched Summer Wars, because he said, if you haven't watched it, you're not cool, and I wanted to be cool, and then I got something great out of the deal, so.
Yeah, J. Michael Tatum, actually, I when I met him at Anime Boston, I had him sign my Summer Wars DVD, and he got super excited about it, and he was like, I show this to all my non-anime friends, we sit down, we watch, and we all cry together.
You know? It's just such a good movie!
My favorite voice actress is Laura Bailey, because she's cute. She's way adorable. She's so cute, and like, she's got just the sweetest voice I've ever heard. Like, super gentle, kind of mousy sometimes, and it's just so
cute.
Does
she play I in Shin-Chan?
Yes. No, she plays Shin-Chan.
Oh, she does? Who's the one who plays I? The one who played Momoka and Sergeant Frog and...
Momoka and Sergeant Frog is Monica Rial, she is like another one of my top favorites.
Yeah. I get the two of them mixed up for some reason. Mainly because I think they work a lot together, and you see their name in the credits.
Most notably, Laura Bailey, or very notably, Laura Bailey played Maka in Soul Eater.
Okay.
You should tell your MegaCon story.
I should tell my MegaCon story about how I walked up to her and I was like, hi, Laura Bailey, you're Laura Bailey. I think you have a cute voice. And I said, I hope that's not creepy. And she said, no, it's not. I actually very much appreciate when people tell me that.
Travis Willingham is going to come and Superman punch you in the face.
Yeah, right? I would like to high-five Travis Willingham. Just be like, good job, man.
I guess it's my turn. Well, someone who usually pairs up with J. Michael Tatum, Brina Palencia, is one of my favorites. I love her portrayal of Seattle Phantom Hive and Black Butler. She got, like, that British accent down very well, surprisingly. But the role that I love her so much in is Tamama in Sons of Frog.
Yeah.
She is able to do the cutesy-wootsy version of Tamama and then the batshit crazy version of him in, like, 3 seconds flat.
Yeah, she's pretty fantastic.
She's also a really good live-action actress as well. She has this fantastic web series called The Troubadours, where it's her and a bunch of other, like, college students start up a group, and they're, like, a singing troupe. But it's not like Glee or anything like that terrible. But it's, like, really funny songs about specific days, like, fake holidays that they are celebrating. It's something you should really check out. She is hilarious in this show, and just all together, Brina's really cool. I got to meet her it was like 2011 at Anime Boston, and one of my favorite people I got to interview.
As a quick aside, I think it's really funny when voice actors, you find out about their other jobs. Like with Travis Willingham, how he was in Secondhand Lions and got punched in the face. The guy who punched him in the face, because it was, what's his name? He's like the old actor guy who's...
Michael Caine?
Yeah. Punched him in the face, gave him a bloody nose. And he was like, here's $100, don't tell anyone. or another one, he was on Nip Tuck, and he played a transvestite.
Oh, wow.
And if you go on that clip, all the comments are about miniskirts. Like, the FMA, and I'm like, this is brilliant. Or Todd Haberkorn was in Barney.
Seriously?
Yeah, he played some guy called Knickerbocker or whatever, and he's in, like, stilts. It's ridiculous.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a lot of fun, like, just looking up their other work.
Yeah, voice actors have really, like, odd jobs. Like, that is, like, basically what they have.
And the voice, or the life of a voice actor is rough with all the, you know, auditions that they constantly have to be doing. We got really in-depth to this when we talked to Kyle Bear at AFO. We went to one of his voice acting panels. He was talking about how he runs voice acting, like, private voice acting classes and stuff like that. He does Kyle Bear Live, which is, or Kyle TV, that's what it's called, where he has, like, his own show where you can chat with him. And, he was talking a lot about how, you know, getting auditions is a really tough thing in the voice acting industry, and you have to take everyone you get. We've actually heard that a lot, is that you have to take every single one that you get, which is sometimes why you hear some actors do interesting things on camera, or rather on mic.
Yeah.
They take interesting roles.
That's what, you know, Vic was saying when we interviewed him. It was like, when I asked him, was there any roles that you regretted? He was like, it's not that I regretted them. It was more the fact that I didn't know what I was getting myself into and what the show was really about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because most voice, American voice actors don't see the scripts much or the show before they go. Like, usually they just kind of hand them something and then they're like, go!
Unless they're a fan of it before, because I remember Vic Mignogna said that it was Caitlin Glass handed him, like, a DVD with 4 episodes of Orin High School Host Club on it, mm-hmm. and he watched it, and he's like, I want to play Tamaki. And at that point, it hadn't even been licensed by Funimation, so he didn't even know if they were going to get the license.
Yeah.
But he's like, I want to be Tamaki. There's no question about it. That's who I want to be. And then he auditioned for it, and he got it, and he was really super happy. And it's remained one of his big fangirls' favorite roles.
Yes.
Yeah.
All those fangirls. The fangirls swoon.
That's on another episode, though.
Nothing wrong with being a fangirl.
Well.
Except, of course, if you're the type that likes to kidnap your heroes and tie them to beds, yeah. Force them to write stories, and then
that
you
might
their
be
legs.
That might be wrong
that's,
at being a
that's
fangirl.
Wrong. That's wrong.
That might be wrong being a fangirl.
Stephen King wrong.
Are there voice actors that aren't that used that you want to see more of? Like, just that have done smaller roles and haven't really gotten that much screen time?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Well, you probably know the answer. We probably share the same answer. The guy who voices Grell on Black Butler.
Frederick, what is his name? Frederick something? He's been in, like, That's his one major role, and I think he's done some Walla for other things, but, like...
I've looked him up, and it's, like, the only role he's ever been put in.
And I remember I was listening to the commentary of Black Butler 2, which is terrible, by the way, but I was listening to the commentary, and it was J. Michael Tatum and Brita Palencia, and they were complimenting how well a job he did for one that was a character really hard to portray for any voice actor, but as his first role.
Mm-hmm.
That's not mine, though. That's not mine.
Really?
No.
Okay.
Mine is Micah Solosad, because he played Soul in Soul Eater.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's very true.
And that's his, one really... I know he's done a couple other things, but... And I remember listening to how he got into anime was very interesting, because he's from Hawaii, and he came in for one... they called him in for an audition, because he sent in a demo reel, and he flew all the way to Texas... Did the audition. They're like, hey, we like you. You're great. We might use you again. Flies back to Hawaii. Doesn't tell them that he's doing this. They call him up again. Hey, we'd like to use you again. And he buys another ticket from Hawaii to Texas. Goes to Texas. Records again. They're like, yeah, that was good. We might use you again. And he's like, yeah, that might not work out so well because I live in Hawaii and I can't really do that. And they're like, why didn't you tell us? And so they're like, we have this anime that we're doing. It's Soul Eater. Audition for it, and if we like you and you want to stick around, then stick around. So he did. He auditioned for it. They liked him. He got it. And if you're gonna stick around, stick around. Mm-hmm. But and he's in Wolf Children.
Yes, he plays Ame, right?
Older Ame. Yeah.
Oh, he does.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like one of his new roles, and I'm like, I like him so much, and they just need to use him more. I like his voice.
I thought he was Johnny Young Bosch.
Yeah.
That's what everyone says. What about you two?
Joel McDonald, yeah, he was, Brian's roommate.
Yeah, Brian's roommate. One of our artist, comic book friends, roomed with him in when they were in Texas in college.
That is kind of amazing.
Yeah. Nice. So they're personal friends. I would very much like to see him used, more in, Joel McDonald, very much used more in more animes, because for the fact that I really... I have a very limited, or there's a very limited opinion about of people who agree with me, but I really enjoy Sekirei, but I thought he did a really good job as well.
It's frustrating when you like someone and then you don't get to see them and you're like, come on.
He is in a lot more than some of those the other guys that you talked about, but you really really don't see him a lot at all.
Because he sounds familiar. I think I've seen him in something, but I don't remember what. And I'm like, ah, damn it. Okay, what about you?
I don't know. It's...
Because that's what I mean, because...
A lot of the Bang Zoom people aren't being used as much. Not even, Johnny Young Bosch has gotten as many roles as he used to, because...
Yeah.
Companies that used to be around, they used to license the animes and use Bang Zoom, aren't around.
Well, wasn't Bang Zoom,
I freaking got it. I know who I want to see more of. The guy who plays Dutch in Black Lagoon. Because that is his only anime. That's the only voice acting role he has ever done is Dutch in Black Lagoon.
Mm.
That dude needs more work because Dutch is freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Along the same lines, the guy who plays L in the English dub of Death Note, Alessandro Giuliani, he needs more work because I liked him as L. I thought he was good.
Oh, that guy. I wasn't even familiar with who that was, believe it or not.
Yeah, he's he's a Canadian voice actor. He is the prince in all the Barbie movies.
Oh.
I thought I just mentioned that because I'm like, what else has he done? And I look it up and I'm like, what the hell?
You have given me my answer, actually, because he played Light in Death Note. Brad Swale needs more work.
Yes, and Rock in Black Lagoon.
And he played, what's his name, in Hikaru no Go. He played the actual, he played the spirit in it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's like because that whatever dubbing company that it's up in Canada because he's the Canadian voice actor. They just I don't know. It just you never see them get any licenses nowadays.
No, there's a lot of Canadian voice because
Ocean Studio, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, because it's the same thing. The voice actress of Revy from Black Lagoon.
Mm-hmm.
She's a Canadian voice actress too, and she's only played Revy really in the animes. She plays Susan Test in Johnny Test, that Canadian Flash cartoon. That's Revy. I found that out. I was like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. Especially because now I hear it too. Just the voice. It's amazing. another Canadian voice actress who I was really surprised to see around was again I don't know her name, but she's the voice actress of Claire Redfield mm-hmm. in all the Resident Evil games.
Yeah.
Other than that, she really isn't in much. But the reason I know that is because she's in one of the Bakugan series in English. She plays Mira in the second series of Bakugan,
mm-hmm.
And she's the best voice actress. Like out of because you know like a lot of the kids like American boy like for Bakugan and Yu-Gi-Oh, it's like four kids level dubbing. But she is like at a professional level dub for that kind of stuff because she's really good. And Bakugan is I like Bakugan so. That kind of turned into a weird topic, Canadian voice actors.
That is really, really...
Turned into a perfect discussion.
There's another one who's for Funimation. I've only seen her in a couple things, but I think she's getting more work now. And she was in this one anime, Sacred Blacksmith, that I didn't really like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I haven't seen it either, but I know what you're talking about.
She was the, like, it was like a... she was a character who turned into a sword, but her name's Anastasia Munoz. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And I just don't think that they use her enough, and I wish that they did, because she was in Sekirei Pure Engagement in episode 10. Thought I'd mention that. her name's Aria in Sacred Blacksmith, and I wish they would use more of her. I really do, because I like her.
That's a labor of love. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a good thing because that would mean that, you know, a lot of voice actors are actually fans of what they do. It's part of having such a good fan following because unlike celebrities who get pampered and seen all the time and they get kind of stuck up over it, voice actors don't really get that luxury, and that's why when they go to cons they're like super nice and everything like that. It's because they actually, you know, enjoy seeing their fans because they never see their fans face to face.
Yeah.
You know? That's yeah, why they like cons is because when they go out on that stage and people see their face and people cheer.
Like they think it's just as amazing. Like we think it's amazing that we get to see them. They think it's amazing that people want to see them.
Yeah.
Which is what Daryl Gilbo said when we interviewed him at Florida Anime Experience,
which he is genuinely the nicest and best, like one of the best people I've ever talked to.
Daryl Gilbo should be getting more work too.
Yes, Daryl Gilbo should be getting much more work.
This list is getting longer and longer and longer.
Another, I forget his name, but he plays Claire Stanfield in Bacchano, and he has that really creepy voice, and I feel they need to use him more. Because he's also an FMA, because he plays the one serial killer who, like, chops up women.
Oh, Barry the Butcher.
Yeah, Barry the Chopper. Barry the Chopper, that's his name. And I just feel like they should use him more, because I really like having that extra little, like, because I don't think they have people who are, because it's hard, because his voice is just so naturally unsettling when he plays those roles.
Oh, gosh.
I think that's awesome. Like, just having a naturally creepy voice is kind of really, really unique, and they need to use him more.
I honestly can't think of any other voice actors now. You took all the other ones from me.
I think we've named every single voice actor.
Oh, goodness.
I don't know, but you know who is another good one who doesn't get more work is K.T. Gray, who plays Sarah Victoria in Helsing.
Absolutely.
She's never gotten anything else.
Yeah, because just like Dutch, like that's her only role is Sarah Victoria. And like
who's the person who plays Integra?
Don't know. I forget.
Because I don't remember seeing her in a lot of things either, and I think she needs to get more work, whoever she is. I'm sorry if you're listening to this, and you're like, why doesn't she know my name?
Person.
I'm sorry, but you do a very nice British accent. I do appreciate that.
I think it's authentic.
It's very authentic.
No,
I showed it to my grandpa, and he's like, no, yeah, that's a real British accent. And my grandpa would know, because he's British.
Well, because Katie Gray is British. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why she only has, like, Helsing under her belt. Because, like, they're not, like, actively seeking out British people.
There's not a high demand for sweet British girls.
Yeah.
Because there's just not a lot of anime about British things, unless it's like Helsing and
Black Butler.
That's pretty much it. And they had it covered with Black Butler.
Because Funimation
rocks. And I do like the actress who also plays Integra in the abridged Helsing because I think she does.
Whatever.
Yes. I know. You have a different opinion of Hellsing the Ultimate Version than I do, but I think it's amazing.
Why doesn't Takahata 101 get actual anime work? Why does he just still do abridged stuff?
I don't know, but like, I think it's awesome that they got legit voice actors in their most recent one.
Yeah.
Like, actual. I'm like, how the frick did you do that? Like, I forget who was on the list, but it was, they got like two legit voice actors that were like Funimation voice actors.
Did they pay them?
I probably not.
They probably did because, oh, we love your guys' work, so let's
they, do. They would have probably had to.
Remember, they had Kyle Siebert play Santa Claus in Christmas Tree of Might.
And who was it? Yeah, Christopher Spott. They got him in Hellsing Ultimate Abridged as well.
Oh, seriously? That's freaking awesome.
In the third one, in the beginning, when you hear that guy, like, right before they make the Aristocrats joke.
I don't think that's him. The third one. I think we stopped at the second one.
Yeah. Oh.
Heresy.
You missed. Heresy. You stopped at the best one.
Sorry, if they wanted us to keep watching until we got to the best one, they should have made the first two good.
Boom!
They were good. Suck it.
Come on, the whole Adventure Time gag.
I will say that, at least in the abridging world, I think voice acting in general in the abridging world has gotten better and better as time goes on.
That's true. Most of the people who do abridged series are aspiring voice actors and actresses, and it is actually a pretty good place to start. It's a good demo reel.
Yeah. It is a good demo reel.
Legitimately.
If you're good. Like, I mean,
there's some pretty poor.
Yeah, there's some pretty bad ones
out there.
But
Sailor Moon abridged. Even though it is funny, the voice acting is still pretty bad in it.
But I do think that definitely the Team 4-Star group, they are just getting better and better. Because I remember seeing their first ones. And I mean, it was good, but like, it's so much better now. They've just progressed so far. And that's really nice to see. I like seeing their passion.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, Lil' Karibo is still just Lil' Karibo.
Okay, so that's all for the Tapagotchi. Let's move on to some fan service. We got a couple pieces of fan service this week.
Yeah, we got some really long answers.
Yeah.
Jeez.
We'll start off with the simple ones. Our fan Kyle, he sent us just a message saying that he started watching Kill la Kill on our recommendation, and he said it's silly, awesome, fan service-y win, which I agree.
Yeah. I mean, you can't watch something that's Studio Trigger and not get some fan service.
Or take it seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he also goes on to recommend some Japanese folklore, because when we talked about in last week's episode...
Things you learn from Japan.
Things we learn from Japan. There's a lot of animes that are based off of Japanese folklore that's already been told. And he showed us over to Folk Tales from Japan, which is on Crunchyroll. And then they also have Japanese ghost stories.
Yeah, which, now that you mention it... I think I actually answered this back, is I totally spaced last time. The whole point of us even going towards that topic was so that I could mention Joshiriku. And, like, we just totally neglected to talk about Joshiriku. So if you guys want to learn things about Japan through anime, watch Joshiriku. It's basically podcast the anime, where it's about, you know, five girls who sit in a room and talk about weird things that Japan does, and about the culture, and about the history, and about the language, and about the writing, and everything you want to learn about Japan. It's literally like an adult learning channel. It's amazing.
Unlike the regular learning channel, which has really crappy reality shows now that don't teach you anything.
And for the most part, after those things that we went through, we got a good response of people who were suggesting some new Tapagotchis for us for the future. So we're not going to discuss them right now because we'll keep them a secret, you know, for when you actually listen to the episodes as they come out. But thank you for your contributions, and we'll definitely get to them all.
They're in our library. We have placed them in our library of Tapagotchis.
Right.
And we do actually have a library of Tapagotchis. I'm not fluffing you.
So it's time for some shameless plugs. That's right, guys. If you guys want to join in on our conversation, perhaps you want to talk about your favorite voice actor, or even maybe an old topic that we talked about before, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That is wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That is all one word. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where apparently people have been sending us a lot of responses when we post the podcast link.
on there, which is kind of cool. I enjoy that. I respond pretty quickly, or hopefully. You can find us at tumblr.com/wickedanime, or I'm sorry, wickedanime.tumblr.com. That one always gets me. Victoria runs that, and we frequently post fun stuff. Jonathan and I are floating around there every once in a while. You can also find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you're either already listening to this podcast, or if you're not listening to this on the iTunes channel, and you can also find our other review videos there and everything, which is pretty freaking sweet. And if you want to just watch our regular review videos, go to youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where we semi-frequently post videos, but they are always a good time. And do you guys want to post your, or plug your stuff? Go right ahead.
All
right,
this is my long one. For the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests for No Borders or Race, if you're a band and want to be featured on the show, and if you have questions for our Japanese teacher, Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at king_baby_duck. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/bostonbashbrigade. You can follow our Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. And also, don't forget the other websites, Electric Sisterhood, esh.co, Geekagro, geekagro.com, issuesprogram.com, and also don't forget to look up on our Electronic Gaming Monthly Now program partner page at egmnow.com/electricsisterhood.
What do you got, Sarah?
For me, I am 42 Believer. You can find me at 42believer.tumblr.com, at Twitter at 42 Believer, on Facebook 42's Anime Reviews, and on YouTube, 42's Anime Reviews there as well. You can also find me. I am a member of JTaku, a subset of the podcast PodTaku, which is also on YouTube. Check me out there. I recently did a discussion on Ruby. And that's pretty much it for me.
All right. I hope you all brought a pad and pen, because that is a lot to remember.
But we highly recommend you check them out.
Absolutely.
Please.
Please.
Sarah, you don't need any help.
Shut up. We all need all the help we can get. Don't lie.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. We will see you next time. It's time to sign off the only way we know how. K-bye. Bye.
It's really hard. Okay. Oh, wait.
Coming this Cyber Monday, the Electric Sisterhood Holiday Gift Guide, featuring gift ideas that you should get for everybody, because if you don't, you are a very terrible person and suck at Christmas/Hanukkah/Kwanzaa.
As good as that was, this is coming out the Thursday after Cyber Monday.
So go to egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. Check out the catalog.
Thanks for listening to Wicked Anime Podcast. As listener-supported entertainment, we allow you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, shopping at nerdyshow.com/store, or directly donating to this network. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in. To find out how you and your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more episodes of Wicked Anime, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store. And for the latest news on us, you can follow us on any social network. We're glad to be your home for authentic nerdy entertainment.